Hello, welcome to Crucified for Christ Ministries. This is Jonathan Ritter, and if this is your first time listening to anything on this ministry, from the sermons to the Bible studies, I want to just say welcome. If you're new to this and you're on this page, you will see that there is numerous sermons. I have a ton of sermons. So you can start from the top and work your way down. Also in the archives, I have sermons there. So I have probably over 500 sermons on this website. And I encourage you, check them out. This website is free. I don't charge for it. I have a few Bible studies on here. You can go on there. You can listen to those. It's a very simple website. Nothing fancy. Maybe one day I'll fancy it up. We'll see. But right now it's just audio play. You can listen to it. And I also post devotionals throughout the week too. So check those out. Usually Monday through Friday. I try to put one every day. If you go to the older sermons though, you will find out that this website used to be called Wake Up America Church Ministries. And I just, the Holy Spirit led me to change that title to Crucify for Christ Ministries. That title will be there for probably a long time, because it's just something that, when I did Wake Up America Church Ministries, I had to put something out there, and I was struggling with a title, and that title really never really, struck me really too good on that. It seems like it was missing something, and Crucify for Christ Ministries is just, it just sounds more the thrust of this, of my ministry that the Holy Spirit has given me. But if this is your first time, check out the sermons, check out the Bible studies, check out the afternoon devotionals, Monday through Friday, all free, no charge. If you need to contact me, you can go to the homepage. On the homepage, if you see there, you will see a email. You can actually email me. That goes straight to my Yahoo email. If you do, just make sure you're putting a subject title, Crucify for Christ Ministries, on there. And best if it goes into like a spam or a junk mail. I only check my junk mail once a month, and I'm deleting a lot because I get a lot of spam. I just don't want your email to go get deleted. Another quick way you can get a hold of me is through Facebook. You can private message me through there. You don't have to be part of my friends group. And on this website, you'll see the Facebook icon. You should be able to click that. I think I got that resolved where it'll go straight to Facebook, and you can private message me that way. Just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries on there, so I know you're. I just don't add anybody on my Facebook group. I also have a private group on Facebook that I could add you to. I share a lot of sermons on there and other things. Replicable preachers that are soliding God's word, and then I also call out those that are not. So people like Steve Furtick and them, Anley Stanley, John Hagee, Clef Dollar, all these guys are not solid biblical teachers or preachers. So that's a way you can get me. You can also try to contact me through X, aka Twitter, and Instagram. I don't really do those often, because I work a 40-hour job too, a secular 40-hour job. And most of you guys that have been listening to this ministry for the last 3-4 years, you know that I work 40 hours a week, and then I do this as I can. And then on the weekends, I may be physically preaching at a church, I may be physically teaching at a church, I may be at a conference, or I may be doing something. I may be counseling. I try to put a sermon every week on this website. And I'm also in school, so I'm also in school trying to work for my work, get my master's and my doctorate one day. So I'm doing all that. So I stay pretty busy. And of course, I'm married, so I got to keep the marriage up, right? So I stay busy. So if I may not post a sermon every week on here, also I'm trying to maybe write a book, but we'll see how that works. I'm trying to put all that in there where I could write a book. I got many ideas on writing books, several books, but I just trying to find the time to do it. And when you're working a secular job 40 hours a week, and then you're trying to spread out the time, and sometimes you just don't have enough time. And first, I gotta do my personal reading and studying and praying too, to make sure I don't fall for the traps that the devil sets up for me. So keep me in prayers. I know you guys have been following this ministry. You are keeping me in your prayers, and I thank you. I want to thank you also for sharing this website. It don't seem like much, but here's the thing: it's all about Jesus. If somebody comes across a message on salvation, and they're reached through the scripture, God gets the glory, right? And if you're sharing this and somebody hears a message on salvation, that majority of churches today, they're not preaching the true message of salvation. They're not preaching about having a crucified life. They're baptizing little kids that don't even understand what baptism is with a big smile on their face. But if you go to that little kid and you ask them, are you willing to have your head chopped off for the name of Jesus Christ? You probably kicked out of that church, because we're setting our kids up for failure. That's what we're doing. And this is controversial and people don't want to talk about it. A little child should not be baptized until they fully understand what they're signing up for, what they are giving. They may have to give their life. If there was no food on the table, if there was no electricity, you're on the streets living in a box in the rain. Always like, wow, man, that's heavy. You should be telling a kid. Well, you know, here's the thing: that kid don't understand the accountability of the cross unless you expound it to them. You want them to make, and if you don't think they're old enough to take that kind of language, then they're not old enough to get baptized. You just dunked the kid in water and gave them a free bath. And it breaks my heart because I'm seeing it over and over. And many churches don't want to hear that. They'll rebuke me. They will spit on me. It'll be all right, though, because in the end, that kid that grows up, and I pray that kid is discipled right. But I know some of these churches are doing this. I know they're not being discipled right. That kid grows up, goes off every which way. So I once was a Christian because they believe they were baptized, and that makes them a Christian. I ain't a Christian no more. Well, I got news. You never were a Christian from the get-go. You were just fed a bunch of fairy tales in your mind of what it means to be a Christian, and not what it truly does to be a Christian. And that just rattles me and breaks me, because that kid, most of the time it's the parents pushing it. Most of the time is the parents trying to, where they can get their photo op so they can, get their photo op so they can post it on Facebook, and everybody and their mother can congratulate them and their child on the baptism. You get baptized into an army as a soldier for Jesus Christ. As a soldier, we will get war rooms, and we will get holes in our body that blood will pierce out of, because this is a battle. Don't sign a kid up for something they don't understand. And I didn't have that in my notes, but obviously somebody needs to hear that. On a different note, Holy Spirit's been really laying on my heart to preach and teach through Psalms. Now, verse by verse, preaching and teaching to Psalms, which will be a task, no doubt. So the plan is to teach you the whole book of Psalms for the next several years. We will be taking breaks in between these, within these books. But what I'm doing is I'm going to post them on my main sermon site. That's where you're listening to this right now. And I'm also going to also create another tab that has learning the Psalms. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this intro. I'm going to leave it here on the sermon, but I'm also going to put it in the learning the Psalms. So when we do take breaks, you can go back and you won't have to go strolling down to try to find Psalms 1, Psalms 2, Psalms 3, Psalms 4. They'll all be kind of right there. So when you stroll down, you'll see the intro. You'll see Psalm 1. And as we get through Psalm 1, you'll see Psalm 2. And I'll have that posted on the learning the Psalms. And I will have that posted on my regular sermons. But when we do take a break, that's another resource. If you want to go back, hey, you know, I want to listen to Psalms 1 again and take some more notes and I want to read it for myself. And so the name of this huge teaching series, 150 Psalms, guys, so it's going to be over 150 teaching, preaching, sermons. Before it's all said and done, it'll probably be 200 to 300 sermons altogether. It's going to be a pretty big task, but the goal is for you to learn the Psalms. And the reason the Holy Spirit's pushing me to do this is several reasons, but the main reason is we need not to lose our hope in these dark times we are living in. We need not to lose our hope. Our hope is in who, guys? Jesus Christ. He is the anchor of our salvation. A anchor holds a ship in place when the wind and the storm and the rain hits it. Keeps it from running into the objects that can destroy it. Our hope needs to be firm when everything around us is falling apart. And I promise you, it will fall apart more for us all said and done. A lot of people have their heads in the sand. They're not looking at, especially here in America, the modern day Christianity garbage that's going around. Muslims got their heads in the sand. They're thinking they're going to get raptured before everything horrible happens. I got news for them. They're practicing escapism. And they're going to get mad when you tell them that. But that's the reality of it. They're going to have their heads in the sand. And when that storm rolls over and blows all the sand away, and they're looking at the Antichrist, and there's persecution and tribulation like never seen before, especially here in America. People will literally be put in jail, even getting possibly murdered, killed, executed. You say, man, that's extreme. We don't believe that. Well, you may not believe it now, but one day you will if you're still alive during that time. And you will take this crazy preacher for what he is, a man of God led by the Holy Spirit, to tell you, get prepared. And how we get prepared? What we get in God's Word. That's how we anchor to the hope. And one way we get in God's Word is through studying the Psalms. We need men and women that study the Psalms, and not just the Psalms, all of God's Word, and helping us lean more on Him and His understanding, not ours. Leaning on His will, not ours. Being driven by His purpose, not our purpose. Right? And I'm praying that we take this teaching, this preaching in, And each psalm we go through, you get something from that that helps build on your hope in Jesus Christ, the anchor within these storms, that you may be going through a storm right now that's not in a time related. Maybe you're going through a storm where you're having a financial crisis. Maybe your body is riddled with cancer. Maybe you have a loved one that is sick and you're praying for healing. Maybe you are sick and you're praying for healing. Maybe you feel isolated from your family. Maybe your oppression and anxiety is beyond what you can imagine. And you just don't know what to do. You're contemplating ending your life. Well, until you don't do that, instead to go to God's Word. And a good place to start is in Psalms. And one way we get that closeness, that leaning on God, is memorizing Scripture. And memorizing Psalms is very powerful. I've done it through the years. And when you're going through something, you just quote that in your mind. You're tattooing that in your heart. One day we may not have the Bible, guys, to look at. We may be sitting in a prison cell with nothing but a bowl of water and bread. But we have God's Word memorized in our mind and solid in our heart. Even though we're sitting there starving to death, we won't be shaken. And I believe a lot of American Christianity, you have these people out there, they're motivated speakers. They will not, when hard times truly come, because they have what I call a silver spoon in their mouth, they never really experience any form of persecution or suffering. And you watch them, and millions want to follow these guys. They're building their foundation on sinking sand. And we're told not to build our foundation on that type of sand. But we are told to build our foundation on God's Word. That rock, that solid rock. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And what happens? Storm comes. And what happens? The guy that built his house on the sand, or that person that built his house on the sand, what happened? His house fell. And great was the fall. But the guy, or the person who built his house on the rock, it stood the storm. What I'm getting at, to memorize Scripture and memorizing Psalms, right, is getting our foundation right. Now, when we look at the Psalms, and you'll find this in any commentary, if you got a good Bible commentary, the stuff I'm saying is you've probably read it before. But Psalms is a book of poems set to music. And music is powerful, right? If you ever driving down a road or the highway and you heard a song on the radio, right? Or whatever device you may be using. And you can get this melody stuck in your head, right? Some reasons you cannot get it out. It's just there. Sometimes it may not be a good melody. A song or a catchy saying from a song. I want to encourage you to get rid of or watch what you're listening to. What melodies, what songs you're listening to. If they're not biblical, they need to be moved. Because here's the thing. When you're letting filth go into your mind like that, people say, oh, country music, there ain't no filth. Yes, there's a lot of country music filth. Speaking of drinking, getting drunk, smoking, having sex, partying, talking about women in an ungodly way, talking about men in an ungodly way. It brings me to tears to hear people that profess to know Jesus Christ listening to that garbage and saying there's nothing wrong with it. I guarantee you're putting garbage in your mind. What comes out is garbage in your life. Instead of bring Psalms into your life, read the Psalms, study the Psalms. There are even artists out there that have put music to Psalms. Get you a CD and put the Psalms in your CD and just listen to the Psalms play. We not need to listen to the sound of the world, but we need to listen to the sound of Jesus Christ and songs that reflect His biblical truth. Many times we're listening to music we should not be listening to. One thing today is Taylor Swift. We should not be listening to anything Taylor Swift has out there unless it's just research purposes to show how demonic she is. We should not be letting our kids watch or even listen to any lyrics that comes out her mouth. I don't care if she professes to know Jesus. And yes, she has professed to be a Christian. But what she believes in? She believes in gay marriage. She believes in open marriage. And open marriage means this. You're marrying somebody. Male, female. Not male, male. Not female, female. God is not okay with that. But you marry male, female, husband, wife, right? When you're married, you're in that covenant, you can go and sleep with somebody else. And that's okay. She supports that. She believes in sleeping with someone before marriage. She's doing that right now. She's done it in the past. Her music reflects that. Filthy contents. Her music promotes witchcraft and language. She believes in abortion. You trying to tell me that is what true Christianity is? No. You trying to tell me that is what a child of God is, through the scripture, is supposed to be doing and supporting? No. As a child of God, we do not support gay marriage. We do not support open marriage. We believe marriage is sacred between a man and a woman. We believe that sleeping before you're married, that is fornication, and that is against God. We believe that we should guard our hearts from what we're listening to, from what we're watching. We don't believe in abortion. And I can go to scripture after scripture showing you that, where that is solid in God's word. But Taylor Swift believes all that, but she's Christian. She has this perversion of Christianity that has taken America. That is not Christianity. It is satanic in its nature. It is false. Some individuals out there, they've coined it a progressive Christianity, which is not a true Christianity. They call it progressive Christianity. And believe it or not, that progressive part, I've preached 4 or 5 sermons on that, on the progressive part of that. The Christians that are professing to be progressive, they're the ones that gave that title. And basically, very short, they believe that God's word is out of date. And they're more progressive in God's word. So that's why I can say, well, God would be okay with gay marriage. And He would be okay with sleeping with somebody that's not your spouse, and they would say God would be okay with fornication and watching wherever you want and abortions and talking any way you want. But that is not true Christianity. Even those professing Christian bands, we should be careful, right? When we're listening to those professing to be Christians, well, Taylor Swift professed to be Christian. You listen to her lyrics, you clearly tell she is not. But those Christian bands out there that also profess to be Christian, that their lyrics is kind of weird. One out there that's been, I'll hear the songs, and you know they have a catchy melody to it. And I'll listen to some of the songs, and they had a song that came out recently. I looked and I was like, that don't sound right. They have a big movie at the theater. Now it's called Unsung Heroes. And it's actually not in my notes. I'm trying to think of their names. But it'll probably come to me. But they have this movie out. It's called Unsung Heroes. And you can type in Unsung Heroes. And that will give you who they are. But they would come out. They come out with some songs that I just don't see them as a Christian band. They have a lot of Christian language on there, but I don't know. It's just. But what I'm getting at, we need to listen places like Hillsong and Bethel Music and Evelation. Is the band from Steve Furtick's church. You listen to their lyrics and you're like, that don't sound right. So we have to be also careful, even listen to Christian, supposedly Christian music. So let's be careful. A lot of deception out there. And I'll tell you, I'm not perfect. I've shared stuff before. And I'm like, I shouldn't have shared that, because then I realize what they're singing isn't correct. So now I try to be a whole lot careful as I can what I share when it comes to music, because it just gets, I repented of that. And I pray God to help me share good, solid music that has good biblical and the artists are biblical. But man, it's hard when you're looking at the CCM, the contemporary Christian music, it's hard because you just don't know how they're living their life. They could be singing about Jesus and they could be doing something totally different. You don't know unless you're there, right? Know them personally, or being around them for a few days or more than a few days and walking around with them and seeing how they act. I don't know their life. All I can do is listen to their lyrics. Unless something comes out like Hillsong, the scandal of Hillsong with Brian Houston, and then you see that. I knew something wasn't quite right with that group, but I didn't know. They do have some solid biblical worship music, and they got a whole lot that's not. So what I'm getting at is this. We need to be careful what we're listening to. And these psalms, they were set for music. They were set to be sung. But when we look at the psalms, Henry Moore's study Bible is a commentary that I use. I like Henry Moore's study Bible. It's a pretty good study Bible. But it breaks it down to, it says the book of Psalms is, of course, the longest book in the Bible, certainly occupying a key position in the plan of God and the instructions of his people. It contains the Bible's longest chapter, which is in chapter 119. And it has the shortest, which is at 117, that's Psalm 117. And there's numerous references to primal past, even more to the prophetic future, being especially rich in the fourth glimpse of the coming Messiah. It is undoubtedly the favorite Bible book of multitude of original believers, because it is a product of insights into the needs and provisions, the sorrows and the joys of God's people in every age. And many of the Psalms, they have the inscriptions indicating human authors. Now, and we'll go into that as we go, but what we know is David is listed as a author of 73 Psalms here. The Aspen, or that's ASPAH, they're credited for 12 of them. One of the Psalms is attributed to Moses, Hermy, Ethan, and at least 62, as what they call anonymous songs, or some would call them orphan songs. However, three of the songs are anonymous. Psalm 7, and Psalm 72 and Psalm 95 are mostly contributed to David, even though some will say they're anonymous or orphan psalms, but most will contribute these three psalms to David, and I do too, by studying and looking at it. And I've been studying psalms for the last 3 years before I stepped into trying to do this, and I'm still studying them. So I keep adding notes to the ones I have. So as these psalms, as I preach and teach through them, there may be a lag between each psalm as I put all my notes down as I can, and trying to keep it down to an hour a piece. And some of these psalms I may break them down to 2 hours, so I may do an hour here and then an hour then, and then again some of these songs may be 3 or 4 hours a piece. All depends. Another commentary I was looking at puts it this way: the whole book of the Psalms is subdivided internally into five books. The first one was chapter 1 through 41. The second would be chapter 42 to 72. Chapter 3 would be 73 through 89, and chapter 4 would be 89 to 90, and the last chapter would be 107 through 1. Actually, I read that wrong. 90 to 106. So that would be chapter 1 through 41 would be 1, 42 through 72 would be 2. 73 to 89 would be 3, 90 to 106 would be your 4th, and 107 through 150, that's where I messed up at, 107 to 150 would be the 5th chapter, or the 5th book in that. The significance of a particular grouping is not clear, though. They group these, but it's not really clear. It seemed to be implicate the 5 books in a grand doxy on each of these, but that's up for debate. But then each of the 5 songs in the epilogue is a great psalm of praise, both beginning and ending with a hallelujah, that is the praise the Lord. The very last verse commands, let everything that breathes praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And that's Psalm 150 for 150 verse 6. The book of Psalms is called to be a hallelujah book, also the book of praise of Israel. However, there are a few psalms like 67, 100, and 132 which contains only the note of praise. Almost all the psalms sung of sorrow and suffering, oppression and persecution, yet always in the context of God's redeeming love and the believer's oncoming faith, leading finally to the everlasting praise of our Creator and Savior. There are also more keen, specific insights scattered throughout Psalms, as well as many evidence of remarkable structures. Sometimes structures are intentional, like the alphabets, or other times they seem unintentional, except as woven into the structure by the Holy Spirit Himself as a special evidence of divine inspiration, special testimony. Unlike other books of the Bible, in which the chapter verse divisions were inserted only by medieval scholars, the chapters and verses of the book of Psalms seem to have been impressed upon the book by the poetic structure of each psalm from the very moment of divine inspiration. Although the immediate content of Psalms in relation to the nation of Israel and her worship, there are clearly infinitely precious resources for believers of every time and of every place. Wisby Bible Commentary puts it this way: primary, the Psalms are about God, His relationship to His creation, the nations of the world, Israel and His believing people. He is seen as a powerful God as well as a tender-hearted Father. A God who keeps His promise and loving cares for His people. Psalms also revealed the hearts of those who follow Him, their faith and doubts, their victories, their failures, their hopes for the glory of future God has promised. In this book, we meet all kinds of people in a variety of circumstances, crying out to God, praising Him, confessing their sins, seeking to worship Him in a deeper way. In the book of Psalms, you meet the God of creation. You learn spiritual truths from the birds and beasts, mountains and deserts, sunshine and storms, wheat and chaff, trees and flowers. The psalm teaches us to seek God with a whole heart, to tell Him the truth, and tell Him everything, to worship Him because of who He is, and not because of what He can give us. They should show us how to accept trials and turn them into tribulations, to turn them in triumphs. And when we fail, they show us how to repent and receive God's gracious forgiveness. My friend, when we go through this long sermon series, preaching and teaching, all this comes into account. All of it. I pray this journey will grow you and help you to find hope in these dark times we're living in, and that you can anchor yourself in the only rock that will hold you through the ups and downs in this life. Like I was saying, most of the stuff I was reading here, I just pulled from commentaries. And most of your commentaries will have this breakdown. If you have a good study Bible, all you have to do is go to the very beginning of it and read the first page of the beginning of that book you're about to study. Henry Morse has I really like his study Bible. I've used that one a lot. But there's other, you can get specific study Bibles. Like if you like the NKJV, the New King James Version, you can actually get that. And you can get it where it's a study Bible and they'll have notes on there. You can, same thing with the KJV. I have the NKJV. I have the KJV study Bibles. I have the NIV study Bible. I have the NLT study Bible. So I look at a lot of those when I'm going through things. And I have some specific commentaries on Psalms I've read throughout the years that I've looked at and studied on. A good study Bible will kind of give you a breakdown of Psalms. Of course, you can go back through this and listen to this. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this opportunity, Lord, just to go into this intro into this beautiful book of Psalms. Lord, I pray as we go through this, God, You just guide and You direct as You see fit. I pray, Lord, that You just move in each of these books, these chapters. Each of these chapters, God, You just move. Holy Spirit, just guide and direct as You see fit. As we go through this, God, help us to have our eyes firmly plant more on You and less on ourselves. Help us abide more in You than ourselves. Let's go look beyond what we're going through in our life right now and to firmly place our mind on the One that can give us strength to endure anything that may come in our life, God. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. I love you guys. Once again, if you need to reach out to me, you can reach out through me through this website. You can email me. If you do email me, just put Christoph for Christ Ministry. If it goes to my spam, I'll be able to identify it. If you want to hit me on Facebook, you can hit me on Facebook, and it'll send you straight to my Facebook page or whatever it may be. And you can send me a friend request if you want to, or you can simply just send me a question through that. Any question that you may have, it's probably the most effective way of getting hold of me, because I only check my spam emails once a month. So if you email me tomorrow, I'll probably, well, let's say 5:13, I won't get it to the end of this month. And I'll be doing a lot of deleting. So, but if you don't put in the headline "Crucified for Christ Ministry," then it'll probably get deleted, and I won't be able to respond to you because I didn't know you emailed me. Once again, Instagram and Twitter, or Twitter X, or Twitter, however you want to look at it, you can contact me through that way, or Instagram, but I don't go through those channels much. Some of you guys have my private messaging. You got my phone number. You got my so you can text me. I encourage you to text me. You guys have a good rest of your week. Or if you're listening to this weekend, your weekend, what I'm going to do is, I got this. I'm doing this. I didn't have a chance to get this posted during the weekend. I had some things come up I had to take care of, and then I just didn't get around to it. And today's Monday. I'm putting this in Monday. I do have the sermon typed up for my Psalm 1. It's actually going to be two parts. So I'm going to try to preach that before or around Friday, possibly Saturday if I can. I have a conference I have to be at. There was two conferences I had planned, but I may only do one, so I can preach that sermon and then go to that conference at night, that men's conference at night. But if you guys have any questions, so reach out to me by email, Facebook. If you guys have my phone number, just text me. Y'all have a good day, night, if you're listening to this at night, a weekend, if you're listening weekend or day. Love y'all. Y'all have a good one. Bye.